Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. We will get to a little bit about NIL in just a second. But first, I meant to do this earlier. I'll do it now. Congratulations are in order to Eric Eager, who is the VP at Sumer Sports. He's actually joining the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, according to Joe Person, are planning to hire Sumer Sport VP Eric Eager in an analytics role. Per league sources, Eager worked for Pro Football Focus prior to Sumer Sport, a startup in 2022 that also employs Thomas Dimitroff, aimed at helping NFL teams in player acquisitions and roster management. So good job out of Eric Eager getting involved in some capacity in an analytical role with the Carolina Panthers. Now, let's just hope that their owner, David Tepper, if he gets mad with the numbers, doesn't throw a drink in Eric Eager's face, because he's a very nice guy and always enjoy our conversations with him. But congratulations to Eric Eager. Okay, we played you the sound yesterday. I want to play it for you again because it will set up what we're about to talk about. Here is Brian Kelly, WFAB9, the head football coach of the LSU Tigers. I'll still always say whenever I hear the LSU Tigers at Orgeron, go Tigers! A little warning to players who just want a payday these days.
We're selling something a little bit differently, and that is we want to recruit. We want to engage, build relationships. We want to develop, retain, and have success. We're not in the market of buying players. And unfortunately, right now, that's what some guys are looking for. They want to be bought. And we're not going to go out and buy players. That's not what this is about. This was never about that. We will develop you. We will get you ready for the next step, as we did with Jaden Daniels, as we did with Malik Nabers, as we did with Brian Thomas. But if you're just looking to get paid, you're looking in the wrong place. If you just want to get, paid, this is not the place for you.
That's such a ridiculous thing that he just said. Like, I understand what he's saying. He's basically saying, if you're just going to get the NIL money and then not put in the work and not try to be a good football player, then don't come here. I think we're all fine with that. But this idea that he's trying to present that, and it comes off with like a negative feeling about NIL, it's such a bunch of bullcrap. Because we all know LSU's paying players a ton of money. And let me let you in on a little secret. They were paying players before NIL was even allowed, like so many of these other big college football programs. So I roll my eyes whenever you have the tough guy football coach, right? Brian Kelly, who, by the way, whether this is fair or not, he comes off so phony. When he gets to that press conference coming over from Notre Dame all those years ago, and he's like, oh, welcoming in to your family, the Tiger family. And then he's doing those cheesy videos with the recruits, and he's like, oh, come join the LSU family. I'm like, where did this accent come from, coach? So that's always rubbed me the wrong way with Brian Kelly, who's a good coach. And there's nothing against Brian Kelly, but him trying to be like all tough guy here, you know, how dare people just think we're just going to give players money and they're not going to have to put in the work. That's not the program for you. We're going to develop you like we developed this player and that player and this player and that player. It's like, can you just save us all the time? And can you stop pretending as if the money doesn't play a factor here? Because let me tell you something with some of these bigger players, like a bigger program in LSU. If you're going to tell the player, yeah, we're not going to pay you, which Brian Kelly's not doing here, they'll get the money somewhere else. All right, they will get the money somewhere else and someone else will develop them. Why can't we just live in a world where you embrace getting paid and also getting developed? But to say the develop part, you almost have to take a shot and have to put down the money part of it. And this idea that a lot of players just aren't going to put in the work when they get paid. And here's a newsflash. That's at a lot of jobs. A lot of people, right, they get the bag. And there's always that concern. Well, how extra motivated are you going to be now that you're finally getting compensated? But come on. It's just one of those instances where Brian Kelly's trying to make himself look a whole lot better when the reality of the situation is he's going to pay players a ton of money. And there's going to be, like, through their collectives, and there's going to be players that go to LSU. Some will develop, some will be great, and some will get the money, and they're not going to be great or as great as you thought the money that they're getting should actually be. Hey, Stu, I want to ask you about Brian Kelly, because you're a Notre Dame honk, right? You love Notre Dame. What are your thoughts on Brian Kelly, who was at Notre Dame for all those years and had a lot of success, right? Saved that program and turned that program back around. In terms of, for a while, Notre Dame got away from really winning a ton of games on the football field, and they were just rotating through coaches. And Brian Kelly had a messy ending at Notre Dame. You weren't expecting him to leave Notre Dame for LSU. I get why he did, because I felt like you have a better chance to win a championship at LSU than Notre Dame. Three coaches have won a championship at LSU since 2000. And, you know, Les Miles, Nick Saban, and Ed Orgeron. Go Tigers! And for Notre Dame, it seems like they could just get into a college football playoff. Once they get into the college football playoff, they don't really do much. So just what are your thoughts on Brian Kelly, who I think he always tries to think he's going about things the right way, and he always likes to puff himself up. But in reality, there's like a lot of times where, I don't know if tone deaf is the right word, but it just comes off as like a little phony and a little fraudulent.
Yeah, I get the same vibes from him. He's almost his own worst enemy. I feel like when he was in Notre Dame, these kind of comments were less.
Yeah.
It didn't feel, it feels like as soon as he went to LSU, he kind of changed personalities a bit.
And it's not like you don't get covered at Notre Dame, right?
No,
you have
it's not
a huge
that.
Platform. And I know the Notre Dame fan is a great fan, but you get into LSU football fandom and SEC like territory. It's like last night after the Knicks game, I went out to the cigar bar on 56 and 7th. And there was, and Josh Booty was there, the former LSU quarterback, and he had a bunch of friends there and big LSU football fan base, right? And they start talking to me about LSU. And like, they're talking about the third string left tackle. And like that's what they're talking about. They're talking about third string players. And it's crazy to me how deep of the football knowledge that is. And it's a different kind of just love that you have. And when you have the coach come in and he's right. A first impression, it's not like you could survive a bad first impression, but a lot of times when you have a bad first impression, that sticks with you. And when you have a guy from Massachusetts walking in thinking he's Mr. like Southerner and he's trying to sound like he's from the South, it doesn't impact the way that you should view him as a football coach. Like, oh, this guy's not a good football. Like, his resume speaks for himself at Cincinnati Notre Dame, but it's just like, ugh. Well, you're trying to be someone that you're not. Like, just be yourself. And yourself has got you to a good point. It's almost as if Brian Kelly is trying to be, he's just trying to lecture. That's what it is. And like, his way is gospel. His way is the best way. And just that quote, like, I get what he's saying. That if you're just taking the paycheck and you're not going to put in the work, then this place isn't for you. But all these football coaches that leave jobs and make a ton of money, and they speak poorly about NIL, and I understand, like, it's a different structure, it's a different system, It used to be more of a my way or the highway approach, and now it isn't. And players have outs, and players now have freedom to go elsewhere. I can understand why that's a tough adjustment. But Brian Kelly, like, you get paid a ton of money to deal with that. And I don't know if he meant it that way, but it just came off very negatively with NIL when you know LSU is going to pay players a king's ransom. They have, and they will continue to do so. So let me advance this conversation a little bit further. I saw this via On3 Sports. Boise State's coach Spencer Danielson announced incoming freshmen are banned from taking NIL money during their first season. If you're looking for the easy way and you're looking for a handout, don't come to Boise State. Now, BJ Raines, who covers Boise State football, he's a Boise State beat writer for BNN Bronco Nation. He responded to that tweet and he said, for starters, the conversation was supposed to be off the record. Second, he said they won't promise or guarantee NIL money to freshmen before they sign with Boise State. They have to earn it once they show up. Never said they were ineligible to get it. So let me ask you this, Samther, because I read the original tweet, which is, if you're looking for an easy way out, you're looking for a handout, don't come to Boise State. Boise State Spencer Danielson announced incoming freshmen are banned from taking NIL money for their first season. And then the BJ Raines part is, no, they're not ineligible. They just have to earn it. So I understand the technicality, right, of being ineligible and being able to earn it. So clearly they're able to earn it and they're not ineligible. But once again, this is another coach that it seems like he's not embracing NIL. And actually, I think this quote, and depending on what the validity of it is and the context of it too, which you're not privy of, I think this quote is actually 10 times worse than what Brian Kelly just said, which we just spent 8 minutes how I was not happy with what Brian Kelly said. Because I like Boise State as a program. Boise State has had a lot of success. However, in a world where you're operating in reality, where you're a smaller program, and you are a small fish in a large pond, you are basically telling recruits you have to earn NIL, and there will be, forget bigger schools. Let's make this a level playing field. There will be smaller schools that will guarantee players money for just stepping foot on campus through their collectives. So that's like, if you're maybe a bigger program where you have the brand, maybe you could get away with it, but even I think the bigger programs can't get away with it anymore. But for a smaller program's coach, whether what he said or not, but just the way that it's been reported, to basically say they have to earn it, we're not going to guarantee it to them their freshman year. Well, like, I'm looking at this from a business side. Like, think about it this way. When I was coming out of college, let's say radio station A and radio station B gave me offers. Radio station A gave me a guaranteed amount of money. But then radio station B said, we'll give you a decent starting salary, but then there's incentives. I'm taking the guarantee. If they're like similar radio stations, let's just use small numbers here. Let's say radio station A said, we'll pay you $500 guaranteed. $500 guaranteed. And then radio station B said, we'll pay you $150. Maybe we'll give you some incentives to get to $800. Like, I'm taking the more guaranteed money if it's not that big of a discrepancy of what I could potentially earn. So in this case, to just tell your freshman, well, we're not guaranteeing it, you have to earn it. Well, then what are they agreeing on with the NIL collective? And what's the exact standards? Like, I'll tell you this. My first job in radio, and Stu and I actually worked at the same company. My first job in radio, I had a set salary. And then there was a few thousand dollars of incentives. The first year comes up, and maybe this is part of my fault too. And I go, well, did I get my bonus? Like, they never told me what the incentive, it was very vague contract. I was dumb and naive. And they were, so part of it's my fault. I'll take ownership of that. But they were like, oh, no, you didn't earn your bonus. I said, what do you mean I didn't earn my bonus? I'm like, I put in the work. The listenership numbers went up. Social media content went up. More people were paying attention to the station, right? We made national news. Like, I've done this my entire career. And they go, oh, well, you didn't earn your bonus because we never defined how you could earn your bonus. So it's like, how do you earn the money? And what does it get determined on? Playing time, like practice, like what determines you making the money? And I guarantee this. If let's say Boise State isn't willing to guarantee you the money, let me just throw out a random school. San Diego State. I'm sure they'll be willing to guarantee you something that's in the same ballpark as Boise State. I actually think what the Boise State coach may or may not have said, whether it's on the record, off the record, whatever, I think a lot of times people go, oh, I was supposed to be off the record and things like that. They're just trying to backtrack and they're using someone else in the media to maybe walk it back. It's a stupid approach. It's not going to work and it's not going to work out well for this coach in college football. In an era now, you either have to adapt or you get out. And that's just the bottom line.
The only thing that I can think of, because I agree with you that it's not a smart thing to say because you're putting yourself in a position that's basically telling recruits you're not going to be able to give them what they want. The only mm-hmm. thing that I can say in my...
I also wonder how genuine that is, too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes coaches say things and they're not actually genuine. Mm-hmm. Like, how firm are they? Like, let's just say, I don't know, because a recruit grew up in that area. You have a five-star recruit as a freshman that usually wouldn't consider your school. Right? Because, like, Alabama and Georgia's going after. But let's say, oh, he wants to stay close to home. So I'm actually interested in Boise State. And, like, you got to tell that kid? You can't get guaranteed money by coming? By coming to school? Like, come on. Do I actually really believe that it's apples to apples for every freshman coming in? Probably not in this case, Samter.
No, it probably isn't. But I think for me, when I hear him say that, it's kind of like you talk about that radio station or that job kind of thing, right? If one station is Infinity Sports Network, national network, right? And the other one is Bill's radio station with, you know, a reach of 1 mile radius and he has $50 budget.
Back to who I was working.
So you can't compete with small station versus big station. Yeah. You can't compete if you're Boise to Alabama. So this almost feels like all right, let me just hedge my bet. I can't compete with the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Georgias, the Michigans. So I'm just going to tell recruits, you know what? If you want NIL money, I can't compete anyway, so you might as well go there. If you want to play in a place like Boise and you want to get trained and taught and you want to play with some good talent and play against, then come here. But if what you want is money, I can't give you what some of these other schools are going to be able to give
you. But big school to small school, fine, I get it. A lot of these small schools are competing in a pool with other small schools for these smaller time players that still have leverage. And like, if the coach at Boise State, Spencer Danielson, was like 65, I'd be like, okay, I get it. He's older. He was rooted in this way. And you don't really have to adapt because he's on the back nine of his career. He's on the 16th, 17th, or 18th hole of his career. Like Saban or Krzyzewski or Roy Williams or Jay Wright, who was even younger. Right, they were so accomplished, they were so established, they were at the top of their profession. They all got out because they didn't want to deal with this stuff. But the coach at Boise State is 35 years old. So if you have 20 or 30 years left of coaching, let's just say, NIL is not going anywhere. We may get some more clarity on NIL, but it's not going anywhere. So to tell freshmen that you're trying to attract, hey, we're not going to guarantee you anything, it's dumb. And it puts Boise State, a program that a lot of people like, in a spot where it's not advantageous to them to continue to be the program that they've been in the past. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. Jalen Brunson returned from injury last night and had a heck of a second half as the Knicks come back to take down the Indiana Pacers and have a 2-0 series lead. What's your favorite heroic moment in sports? Stu has an answer. Santer has an answer. And, of course, yours truly, Zach Gelb, has an answer when we come on back.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pitbull, Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Yo, yo, this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Jalen Brunson exited the Knicks game last night, and there was a long time that did go by, and a lot of time that did go by, until we found out an update on Jalen Brunson. At first, and I saw it right away where I was sitting last night, I'm like, oh, he suffered a hand injury. He kept on grabbing his hand. And then I'm like, oh, maybe he suffered a groin injury. And then it comes out that he's questionable to return with a foot injury, which is kind of crazy because initially he was grabbing his hand, or maybe for like a split second you thought he got kicked somewhere where you don't want to get kicked or hit somewhere where you don't want to get hit. And he exited the court and then came back out for the second half and had an incredible performance. Like, what Jalen Brunson did with missing the entirety of the second quarter is remarkable. He played in 32 minutes in the game last night, had 29 points. And if he didn't miss a free throw at the end, he would have had 30 points in the game. The dude right now is just unstoppable. Where he just rolls out of bed, and it feels like he's going to give you a performance that would replicate what a 40-point performance would be. If he would have played more minutes and didn't have to miss as much time as he did, he would have got 40 points last night. Like, there's no doubt about it in my mind. So you have that moment occur last night, and it's not going to go down. Like, I understand that we're doing this topic, but it's not going to go down as one of the all-time great sports heroic moments. But in that moment, it was heroic where he overcame an injury, he overcame some adversity, and he ended up having a phenomenal second half and led the Knicks on their comeback. So let's go around the room here. We are going to talk about our favorite moment in sports that an athlete overcame something and had a great performance. I will start with mine. 2008 U.S. Open. Tiger Woods and Rocco Mediate. Tiger Woods is playing on one leg. Literally one leg. He broke his leg. He goes on to not only have a playoff with Rocco, but win the playoff. And at the time, that was his last major for a long time. Because a lot did happen, obviously, away from the golf course with Tiger Woods. And then we didn't see him win another major until that Masters Championship a few years ago. But that performance by Tiger Woods in 2008, it is one of the grittiest, gutsiest, individual moments I have ever seen in sports. And I know people say, well, how much do you really need to be active in golf? And how... He was standing on one leg at the a best of a best event, one of the four major championships, also had to play an extra full round because of the playoff, and was still able to outlast all the competition. So for me, it's the 2008 U.S. Open with Tiger Woods. Santer, what is yours?
I'm going way, way, way off the board on this one. When I say it, you're going to be like, oh, of course. But it's not one that you think of off the top of your head, right? You always go, baseball, basketball, football, what? No.
Well, time out real quickly before you get the answer. There is one that to me is the creme de la creme moment. This is what is your favorite, right? Or, you know, just one that just stood out to you. There is one that I think is like the iconic one that if it's not mentioned, I will mention, but continue it.
Okay, I think I know which one you're talking about, but this one is, I think to me, this is iconic, and this is not just my favorite, but I think if it's not the one that you're mentioning, then it certainly is maybe one of the most iconic. It's Kerry Strug in the 1996 Olympics. All right, this is the women's gymnastics team had never won the Olympics in the history. It started in 1928.
By the way, this is not the one I was talking about, to be clear.
But this to me is the most iconic heroic moment of all time, right? Because this is a moment where you have the entire world watching you. Mm-hmm. This isn't New York versus Indiana. Sure. This is the U.S. versus Russia. This is the U.S. versus everybody, versus history. And you do a vault where you injure yourself. Yeah. You sprain your ankle so bad that you can't walk. And you're forced to go out there again. And on one leg, you land one of the most difficult vaults ever. And you land it and you stick it. Just long enough before you collapse to the ground because you're in so much pain, and you win a gold medal for the U.S. the first time ever. It was the most iconic moment, I think, in sports history. Heroic, injured player going out there and performing on the most pressure-packed stage that we've ever seen in the singular moment. To me, Kerry Strug is by far, in a way, not just my favorite, but the most iconic heroic moment of all time.
I'm not saying anything negatively about the moment. I would have never expected that to be the moment that you gave. I'm actually very impressed because, right, I'm giving one, you're giving one, Stu's giving one. Usually on this show, we talk about not even four major sports. It's usually like two major sports. So you would figure it'd be something that's, like, and I gave golf to be fair, but it's Tiger, right? Tiger's one of the more recognizable athletes ever. So it's a little bit different. But usually most of the moments are like, hey, football or basketball, maybe even baseball, like back in the day, would have never thought you would have gave an Olympic moment.
And I can promise you, a lot of the people in their cars or at work or at home listening to the show right now
are like, yeah, it's a good one.
Who are, they're saying to themselves, you know, I didn't think of that one, but that one is absolutely, when I was watching that, there's been nothing before or since that has come close to equating to that moment of a player overcoming an injury in a pressure-packed, heroic moment and coming through. Never before or since.
Oh, wow. Do I have my breaking news sounder? Just wondering if I could stall here for a few seconds when you play it. When you have it, play it, Stu.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Phoenix Suns, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, have dismissed coach Frank Vogel. The Suns, who won 49 regular season games with the league's third highest payroll and tax, were swept in the opening round series to the Timberwolves. Mike Budenholzer will be a prominent part of the search. Let me just give you the instant reaction. Kevin Durant, I'm sorry, your legacy has taken a big hit. Because when you wanted to go off on your own and you wanted to be the face of a franchise in Brooklyn and now in Phoenix, you haven't been able to deliver. And this is so NBA, where the players don't get the majority of the criticism. Frank Vogel is not the biggest reason why the Phoenix Suns didn't reach their level of success that people thought they could going into this season. The roster was not properly constructed. Yes, you have Kevin Durant. Yes, you have Devin Booker. Bradley Beal, you know, that's not a big-time player. I know he's paid big-time money, but the dude has hurt a lot. And he's not as good as what people thought he was a few years ago. And he screwed himself because he waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, and waited to leave the Washington Wizards. And for Kevin Durant, it's very similar to LeBron James. When things don't go his way, his coach gets fired, right? Look at Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. They love Kenny Atkinson at first. Oh, let's get Kenny Atkinson out. Let's bring in my pal Steve Nash. Oh, then Steve Nash gets fired. Oh, okay, KD goes to Phoenix. Monty Williams, back-to-back poor showings in the postseason. I know Durant wasn't there for one of them. All righty, we got to get rid of Monty Williams. Frank Vogel, come on down. We'll make you the coach for a year. and then you fire him. Hey, I say, like, the Suns are a joke, and I love that they're a joke because KD, he's just turned into such an obnoxious person. Like, he thinks he should be at the table for the greatest of all time. No, you're not a top 10 player of all time. You were on that path. But what Charles Barkley said is 1,000% true. As great as he is, he's going to be remembered as a great player, like a top 20 player of all time, probably closer to top, you know, he's in the top 15, but he does not go into the top 10. But he's someone that, after the Golden State, because he had his insecurities play out in Golden State, he should have just gave everyone the middle finger, and I've said this before, and just simply say, I'm going to go win 4 or 5 championships. You have nothing but, at the end of that, you could only give me praise. Because eventually, you just got to let it go. If you keep on winning all those finals MVPs and all those championships. He couldn't do that, and it was a disaster in Brooklyn, and now it's a disaster in Phoenix, and it's always someone else's fault. You know, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. I'm not blaming Frank Vogel here, but Matt Ishbia did. So much for that guy at the oh, yeah, we believe in Frank Vogel. You want to commit to him, but yeah, we believe in him. We have the right coach. Blah, 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 blah. Like, come on. It's so absurd. Darvin Ham gets rid of LeBron. LeBron gets rid of Darvin Ham. Durant basically gets rid of Frank Vogel. It's always someone else's fault. That's the NBA, though. So there's the breaking news that you do have Frank Vogel out as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Real quickly, Stu, let's just work backwards here now. Samter gave his moment. I give my moment. Overcoming adversity in sports. What is your moment?
All right. Mine is from the NBA, April 12th, 2013. A game that didn't really mean too much. The Lakers weren't a very good team that year. It was one of their more disappointing seasons. Kobe Bryant tears his Achilles, gets up, and not only takes 2 free throws, but makes 2 free throws. Obviously doesn't have a whole lot of meaning in terms of like winning a championship,
yeah,
scoring titles, all that, but it just is one of those things that stands out to me about Kobe, and I think is one of the heroic moments.
So anytime that moment gets mentioned, it sparks a memory of a player that I'm not a big fan of, really, but Carson Wentz against the Rams, where he tore his ACL, stayed on the field, and threw a touchdown pass to, I believe, Jordan Matthews. They did go on to win that division at the end of that game, but we found out once they leave after that touchdown that he tore his ACL and he still completed that touchdown pass. It's something that is similar, but obviously in the annals of sports history, a lot more people are going to remember the greatness of Kobe Bryant than the one great year that Carson Wentz did have. One more, and I think this is the top. I think this is the creme de la creme. And I think every sports fan remembers this moment, even if you weren't alive, like I wasn't alive. But you just get told it. The Kirk Gibson 1988 World Series home run. And then the call, I don't believe what I just saw. That when you basically were playing with both legs hurt. And you have that moment and the home run and the fist pump rounds in first base. That is an all-time overcoming adversity type of moment. All righty. Good job there. That was a fun segment. I'm sure Manny Rodriguez isn't happy with me because I usurped him on his breaking news.
Not happy at all.
Oh, tough luck. What's the name of the show? Listen, it's a Zach Gelb show. We got to react to it. I got to give an opinion. You just give the news. I give my opinions to the news.
Yeah, you should have gave your opinion 6 minutes.
Nah.
In 6 minutes after I finish my update, get a little commercial break. Nah. You can stew with it, you know, for 5-6 minutes. I ain't going to get any take.
No.
I hate you.
See, you hate me.
I love you.
You apply for a producer position today. I don't know if this is good. You interviewed. I don't know if this is good producing advice. Like, if you were telling the host that you should just wait to go to the update, I don't know about that.
Stop being a crybaby like Carlisle, man. You know it's all love. Get out of here.
I'm just having fun.
I'm
just
fun,
throwing man. Elbows around, and Manny's like, oh.
Throwing elbows like Joel Embiid, too.
that means I'd be grabbing you by your leg, and you'd be falling on the floor.
Hey,
I felt bad for Mitchell Robinson when I saw him limp out with that boot on his foot. Just felt absolutely terrible.
Very cryptic tweets as well.
Oh, yeah, he's not happy.
No, well, and it's a private Twitter account, too, but I digress. Oh,
do you have access to the private Twitter, Mitchell Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, I followed him when he got drafted,
so
and then he went private.
So you have to follow him, and he has to accept the follow?
Well, yeah, but back then, when I followed
smaller
his account,
following.
Yeah, it was a smaller following, and it was public, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. All right. He is Manny Rodriguez, dressed very nicely today.
Thank you, buddy.
In a suit, blue shirt. I don't know how much I love the tie.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Why do you hate it?
I think it's just too much.
How?
I think it matches. It's too much. You have the blue, the white.
You should see my sunglasses.
They're
also blue.
Two different color oranges.
Knicks colors.
Thank you, Stu. Look at somebody with a brain.
I know, but like it's a little too much. Like does everything with Manny these days have to be about the Knicks?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
I've
literally never been here before.
I'm telling you. There are some people that I just see on social media. Like, I get it. You're a big Knicks fan. I don't need to. Every second of your day is occupied by the Knicks following your social media.
Yeah.
You do other things than watch the Knicks, right? Like, you're still eating, correct?
Yeah, I just had some scrumptious McDonald's.
McDonald's?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
A couple of McChickens, large fries.
Yeah, you guys are all eating fast food today. Santa got a Shake Shack. You're getting McDonald's. Stu, what did you have today?
He's shaming us now.
I ate sweet greens.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good job. Good job by Stu, being healthy. I had late night last night.
Salad, Stu.
So I went a little bit unhealthier than normal. I went to my local bagel place. Got a whole wheat everything bagel with egg whites and some well done bacon. No cheese.
I had a bacon, egg, and cheese this morning.
Wow.
Oh, no.
You had a bacon, egg, and cheese at McDonald's?
Yeah, baby.
You need a plumber?
No, not at all. Don't you worry about that.
Because I'm very concerned about your toilet situation.
No, you don't worry. Well, I mean, I'm here for the next 4 hours. So if anything,
I'm concerned
we'll
for our toilet situation. You weren't the one that left the floss.
No, yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
In the production scene.
No, that was not me.
Okay, just making sure.
No.
Just making sure.
No misinformation around here. It wasn't me.
All right, but come on back with the Zach Gelb Show PSA. Here is Manny Rodriguez.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings, and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Hey! Alrighty. I'm going to pivot here in the last second because I'm just reading more details about this Rashee Rice situation. So we all know what happened with him in the car and the accident and what he's facing there and all the charges and... He left the scene of the accident, and reportedly there was a lot of guns that were taken from the car as well. Well, I guess Rashee Rice was out the other night in Dallas, and he assaulted someone now. So a report obtained by the Dallas Morning News said the photographer left the party and then was summoned back by Rashee Rice. And Rashee Rice, to be clear, allegedly got into an altercation and punched this photographer in the face. So according to the Dallas Morning News on Thursday, revealed new details about what led up to the allegations of an assault in which police suspect the Kansas City Chiefs, Rashee Rice, take in part of. The report obtained by the news through a public record said a suspect assaulted a photographer after luring him back to a downtown Dallas nightclub under the premise he was being hired to take pictures. Officers dispatched for reports of the assault, and according to the police report, the photographer believed the suspect wanted to hire him to take pictures. When he returned, he was made aware of where the suspect was by other members of the suspect's entourage, the report said. The photographer found the suspect, who told him to look at Instagram messages on his phone, according to the report, and the report does not detail what the messages were. As the photographer looked down at the suspect's phone, the suspect then punched him on the left side of the face, the report said. The photographer ended up going to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. A police spokesperson said the law enforcement officials told the news the man had visible swelling on one side of his face. Here's my PSA. When you're in hot water, don't dump more hot water on yourself. Think about how dumb this is. I thought at first that Rashee Rice was just out, got in an incident with the photographer, and right in the moment, he punched the photographer in the face. Would have been stupid. But the fact that this photographer was reportedly there, then left, and Rice and his crew messaged the photographer to come on back, and they said, we're going to have you take pictures of us, and we'll employ you. And the photographer comes back, and you go, oh, check these messages, and you punch him in the face. Rashee Rice has reached just a new level of stupidity. So once again, when you are in a sticky situation and you already have pending stuff that is going to take you away from the football field, don't give people more reasons to then make that suspension get augmented. So stupid by Rashee Rice.
I'll just add to this real quick. I don't know if you've seen this scouting report from an anonymous scout from before he got drafted.
No, I did not.
Saying Rashee Rice has athletic ability and production to be a high draft pick. However, at least one team has removed him from his draft board because of behavioral issues. Quote, he's talented, but he's not a good dude. This was from his draft scout profile. Hey. It does not seem like they were wrong about that.
Like, could you imagine, Samter, if let's say I got arrested for something? And then let's say you were a photographer and I had an issue with you taking my picture when I'm out for dinner. And then you leave and I message you, hey, I actually want you to hire me. I actually want to hire you to take photos of me and my friends. You come back and then I punch you in the face. Like, you already are facing more serious allegations. Why would you make something so small into a much bigger deal? It's just because you're a dope. That's the only way I could say it. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I can't give Rashee Rice the benefit of the doubt. All right, Samter, what's your PSA here?
Stu's going to go next.
Oh, Stu, what do we got? Okay. Sorry about that.
I am going to go with the NBA needs to be better with their scheduling. Now, I know the Nuggets and Timberwolves series started the second round. This series started before all the other ones, so that's kind of why they're waiting to play Game 3. But they played Game 2 on Monday.
Yeah.
They play Game 3 on Friday, tomorrow. Every other series plays two games in between. I just don't get why, like, the Timberwolves have all the momentum going to series. I feel like they're going to lose a tiny bit of that. I know they're going home, but they're going to lose a tiny bit of that because there's 4 days off in between. Why is there 4 days off in between? If that's the case, they should have waited to start the series when the other one started instead of starting it earlier and then having to have this big gap. To me, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it.
Sam, to take us home, what do we got cooking?
Just real quick, I don't know if you've seen this viral video of the fight on the golf course between this young drunk kid and an older guy.
No.
So it's this viral video that's going around, and it's absolutely fantastic. This drunk guy is on the golf course talking junk to a bunch of older guys. And he's like, oh, you can't get it up anymore. No wonder your wife left you. And then the old guy, he's got to be in his 60s, goes after him, and, you know, the drunk kid starts pushing him and then gets his ass whooped by this older gentleman.
Good for the older gentleman.
And you watch the extended video, it's just a bunch of young drunk idiots causing trouble, instigating with these older guys, and the older guys come off looking like the jerks because they're the ones who were caught on video. But at the end of the day, they're not the instigators. Here's my PSA. If you're going to start something, if you're going to get drunk and talk smack, If you're going to get drunk and act a big game, then you better damn well finish the deal. And don't act like a victim when you get your ass handed to you when you started the drama in the first place. I loved watching this video and watching this young drunk punk getting his ass handed to him by Grandpa. It was absolutely classic, and he deserved every second of it. He is not a victim, no matter what they try to say in the video of him getting his butt whipped. He deserved every second of it, and I love it.
You know how Happy Gilmore 2, they're supposed to have Happy Gilmore 2? I think they should recreate the Sandler Bob Barker scene with these two guys. That's what they should do. That's how they should cast it.
You know, it's funny. The first time I saw this video, I think it was yesterday.
That's what you thought of?
The post said Barker Gilmore 2.
Because I just searched the video.
Yep.
It's a very sloppy fight.
Yep.
Like, if it's the same, I'm assuming it's the same video. Well, I would like to think there's not multiple videos of this, but it wouldn't surprise me these days. There's like some kicking. There's some flailing of the arms. It's a very sloppy. It's not a technically like a great fight where you're seeing like great punches for punches. Does he even get knocked out ever? It looks like they just, at least the video I saw, that just spins away.
No, they kind of spin away. The guy who's taking the video is friends with the young drunk guy. And he's like, hey, hold on, chill out, stop. What do you mean chill out, stop? You guys have been instigating and poking the bear the whole time. Now you're getting your comeuppance. Deal with it and suck it up. Put the phone down and help your friend, you idiot.
Comeuppance. I like that. You don't usually hear that word anymore. It's a good job out of Santa. Alrighty, we will take a timeout. When we come on back on the Infinity Sports Network, it's the Zach Gelb Show. We brought up Brad Holmes' comments a little bit earlier featuring Jared Goff. We'll play that again. What's the future of Jared Goff in Detroit, Dak Prescott in Dallas, and Tua Tagovailoa in Miami? We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings, and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.